You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring the gift of living in the divine will through the writings of the servant of God, Louisa Pickett, at through the School of Mary, which is a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Well, actually, we're without Mother today because she's actually in Tennessee, but we are with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are indeed in Italy, and we can attest to that. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. It's day 31, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All this we ask through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So just a joy again to come together. Opportunity. You know, grateful to have awakened today. Think about it. Do we say thank you, Lord, for waking up from our coma-like state? Our sleep? Did we embrace the day, whether it's a cloudy day, snowy day, rainy day, sunny day? Whether we have issues to deal with today, problems, health, financial? Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Jesus says, bring the sisters in now. Jesus says that he placed more grace in the cross than he did in the sacraments. Now we know that's true. We know that's what he said. We believe that. But that probably would not be a great lead or opening line when you're trying to speak to somebody that's never heard about the divine will. They may run, just like when you explain, like when Jesus says, you know, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. Again, you want to save that for later. It has to be kept in its context. What he says basically is, okay, the Eucharist is the divine will. What's greater? The Eucharist, as the church suggests, is present for 15 or 20 minutes until the host, the species dissolves, or a perennial communion, which is greater. It's not God is greater than God, but God full-time is greater than God part-time. So again, we have to keep everything in context. And I think, sisters, that's one of the issues that I think our church goes through also, because everyone's trying to hammer it. You remember when a couple of years ago, and I think it was it Pope Benedict or? No, it was the current Pope. there was headlines. Homosexuals can receive communion. Remember, there was outcry and, you know, there was conservative outcries. You know, how can this be? You know, he's going against church teachings. But if you look at the context, if you go to the Vatican website, basically he had two pages of what he was saying. Okay, if somebody who's in sin repents, goes to reconciliation, you know, changes their lives, comes back to the church, yes, then they, of course, should receive Holy Communion. But everything was taken out of context. So I guess the great lesson here, and my wife constantly reminds me of this when I see a headline, read the fine print. Just like when you buy something, read the fine print. You have to know what we're getting. A lot of times we're trying to be, I don't want to say fooled, but we're trying to be confused. I think confusion is sort of a chic today. You know, it's good. I guess that way nobody does anything. It's like traction. You ever see that cartoon when the person's trying to run and all they do is keep moving their feet? They don't go anywhere. I think that's what sometimes the world wants us to do, not make the progress. And the progress we're making is not going back. Well, it actually is going back, but it's moving forward, going back to the place, the order, and the purpose for which we were created by God. Hello, Sister Teresa.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone. And I try to attach my
My thinking to what you are telling before about the homosexual person is not the point is not to be or not to be homosexual, is to be or not to be in grace, in state of grace. I can have my ordinary life like a woman, like a man, but I am in a mortal sin. I cannot go to communion. So the first things to think is what is the state of grace is important. And we are so blessed because we receive every day a drop of grace, going to the Eucharist, reading the Bible. Without the grace, any one of us can do a right action. And yes, it's okay, it's normal. And also, you was speaking about the cross and the Eucharist. I think the first things we have to do is to realize what is the calling to the eternal life at the beginning, and to realize truly that the Eucharist is not a piece of bread, but is Jesus living there. And the Holy Cross is not a piece of wood, but is a sacramental, is an important sign of what Jesus lead to us before going to the Eternal Father. And the Holy Cross was impregnated with this precious blood. And so when we receive communion, we have to be disposed to receive the grace that is in the Holy Communion. And with the cross, Jesus said to Luisa, is not necessary to be disposed, because at the same moment when we receive the cross, we already are there. We are there. We are on the cross with him. And he didn't leave the cross because of him, but because of us. So every time and every kind of cross we leave, we are there for meet God, meet Jesus, our God. So we are already disposed to say yes. So this knowledge helps us to carry the cross with love, and to realize, now I am on the cross, I am with Jesus. Why? Because we are called to the eternal life. We are called to give the importance to the things that really, truly are important. Only the things that help us to enter it also with the feet on this earth, but with the mind on the heaven. And I pass now to my meditation.
Actually, sister, before you do that, I want to just bring a point, because you made a great point there. The efficacy of Holy Eucharist. God always gives us 100% grace, but we sometimes cannot receive the 100% grace because of our filters, our clouds, our obstacles that we place in the way of God. So that's very important, to be in that state of grace, to remove those obstacles, so that we can. It's almost like the sunshine. If you want to get sun, you don't stay indoors. You go out to the sun, but yeah. You don't go sit under a tree if you want the sun. So you have to, position yourself. Excellent. We have to position ourselves spiritually also by making sure we're in that state of grace, so we can receive the full benefit of what God wants to do with us. Great point. Thank you, Sven.
So I pass to my meditation. It's from volume two volumes, volume 17 and volume 12. I read first volume 17, and the day is May 17, 1925. Jesus told to Luisa, "Furthermore, while we, the three divine persons, remain always united in working, if creation is related to the Father, and redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas sua was attributed to the Holy Spirit, and it is exactly in the fiat voluntas tua that the Divine Spirit will display his work. My daughter, we the three divine persons are inseparable and distinct, and in this way do we want to manifest to the human generations our work for them. While remaining united within ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually his love and his work for the creatures. So we know that we are in the kindergarten. So we have tried to speak like the children. But in one way, this is a more profound passages because Jesus starts to speak about something that also the father of the church cannot explain totally. And also when we go in the future, in the heaven, is impossible to speak about what is the Trinity. Is important things is to enter in the mystery of love, because there are three persons, but united for what? For love. We cannot try to explain the Trinity like an object, okay? But like a little children, we have to understand what is the message. The message is truly love. But in what context? Unity and diversity. This is a key that helps us to understand how much important it is to be in patient with us, in patience with other people that are with us, and to accept the difference and to try to realize what is the good part of each one of us, also with this difference, and to focus on the unity. And the unity always is love. And this is what happens in the center of the Trinity. And this is the same that Jesus, the God, wants for us. We are all together expression of the Trinity, because we are all together, we are all different, but we are one body, the mystical body of Jesus. And also, I was telling before, we have to speak like little children. In what sense? We have not to try to understand what is the Trinity or what is this mystery of the unity and diversity, but to focus in the seed of this truth and try to put in practice in our life. So if we try to put in practice, it's not more a knowledge only for the knowledge, but knowledge for love. You want to add something?
No, I was going to say, I think our Blessed Mother, gave us the greatest example when she was told by the angel Gabriel that she was going to conceive. She didn't challenge God. She didn't really question God, but she did ask question so that she may receive more information, so that she may be sure or surer of herself to deliver her love and satisfaction to our Lord. How can this be? Again, not a challenge. So we can ask a question if, like you said, sister, if the intention for the knowledge is to be used for a greater good. Yeah. Perfect.
And from volume 12, February 22, 1921, Jesus said to Luisa, "My daughter, these three fiats are the creating, the redeeming, and the sanctifying fiat. In creating man, I endowed him with three powers, intellect, memory, and will. And with the three fiats will I accomplish the work of the sanctification of man." So we are passing from the three persons to the three fiats, so the three action of God. Always is three. But also speaking of us, we are in three parts: the memory, the intellect, and the will. So it's a mystery that continues also in the ad extra. At the creating fiat, the intellect of man remains as stored and enraptured. How many things he understands about me and about my love for him, as I am hidden inside all created things in order to make myself know and to give him love so as to be loved. So always is about love. In the fiat of redemption, his memory remains has stored, enchanted by the excesses of my love in suffering so much in order to help and save men in the state of sin. In the third fiat, my love wants to display even more. I want to assail the human will. I want to place my own will as a support of his will, so that the human will may remain not only enraptured and enchanted, but sustained by an eternal will. And as my will becomes his support in everything, man will almost be unable to escape it. So he speaks about the creation, the redemption, and the sanctification. In the creation, we are called to participate, to be linked to God with our intellect. And we have to think how many times our intellect is distracted. and is yes, is distracted. And also, I was thinking, we are always in the kindergarten of the divine will. Are we responsible for us? For we are nuns, so we are responsible for ourselves and for the person who live with us. But I speak with a person now. I are listening. You are fathers and mothers. You are responsible for your children. How much time your children spend to things that are not very, very, very necessary? Okay, plays, it's good. Every time, it's important to speak with your children about the holy things, because the intellect is there. Our Lady was conceived without the sin, yes, but she was always in unity with Jesus. So what does it mean? That we are able, we are the capacity of God, since we are little, very little. And after the fiat of redemption, it's important to stay with the memory. So always thinking about the passion of God, because it's love for us. And I want to assail the human will also, yes, because every time we are more near to Jesus, thinking about creation, redemption, sanctification, our will start to move about holy things. And this is the disposition that help us to live in a correct way, the sacraments.
Yeah, actually, right, it's spot on, because Jesus says, you know, to be united, to have unity, there must be you must be surrounded by the truth. I mean, how can we be united if I see orange and you see green? We can't. I mean, we can be friends, but we can't be united in what we see. So that's very important. And then, and, you know, you speak about the family, sister, that's so spot on also, because again, spending that time speaking the truth, because again, without that truth being the center, being the nucleus, again, to unite us, you know, that's how families, I think, you know, move in different directions. So to spend that time to impress upon the children the truth, of course they can make up their own mind. But they need to be, you know, fed what's good so that the product can be good. You know, we used to say in business, garbage in, garbage out. You know, if you don't write a good script for a computer program, it's not going to come out very well. You know, just common sense. Sister?
But also in a rational way. I don't start today with 2 hours of meditation about redemption. Little by little, 5 minutes, it's a seed. And we have taken care of this seed little by little, day by day.
Very important. Very important. Hello, Sister Francesca.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself? You look so happy.
Good. Yeah, I am happy.
You're always happy. All the sisters are happy.
Oh, I wish I was always happy.
I have to emulate you all. I gotta get I gotta get a better posture here. Okay.
We're all on a journey.
That's true.
Just thinking about what you and Teresa were saying about unity and the Trinity. I've been meditating a lot about that lately, and like the communion of saints, and how we're made in the image and likeness of God. So we're representations of the Holy Trinity. So the Holy Trinity, they're three persons in one God. And those three persons were very distinct, but they was one God and they shared one will. And that's what we're called to. And that's actually what my meditation focuses on, how Jesus talks about when he was incarnated as many Jesuses as there are souls, past, present, and future. So we're all reflections of Jesus. We all share his same will, but at the same time, we're all very distinct. And that doesn't mean we're have a negative effect on unity. You can still be united, but being distinct and particular. And that's how we're created. We're all particular gems in the eyes of God. We're all his little jewels. We're all his special children. And I just love passages that remind me of that. So I'm going to read from volume 35, February 20th, 1938. Jesus says, and I'm just going to skip around a little in case anybody's following along and then are wondering, where is she going? When I came to earth, I wanted to make myself into one Jesus for every soul who had ever existed, who existed, or who would ever exist. That is why everyone had to have his own Jesus, completely his own, at his disposal. So each one had to have my conception to remain conceived in me, my birth to be reborn, my tears to be washed, my childhood to be restored and to begin his new life. My steps to guide his own, my works to make his works rise up in mine. my pains as balm and strength for his pains, and as repayment of any debt incurred with divine justice. Each soul needed my death to find his life again, and my resurrection to rise again completely in my will for the glory he was meant to give his creator. My heavenly Father had to find in me as many of my lives as the multitude of souls he had brought and was going to bring forth to the light of day, to be satisfied, glorified, and repaid for his great love. I can say that as soon as man withdrew from my will, the glory that was owed to my divine Father was cut off. That is why if I did not produce from within myself one Jesus for every soul, the heavenly Father's glory would have been incomplete. And I cannot do incomplete works. My love would have waged war against me if I had not brought forth from within myself many Jesuses, first for our own honor and glory, and then to give his complete benefit for every soul. Indeed, our greatest pain is that in spite of the multitude of my lives available for each soul, some do not recognize them, some ignore them, some do not use them, others offend them, still others just take scraps of my life. Few are the souls who say, I live the life of Jesus with Jesus. I love as Jesus loves, and I want what Jesus wants. United with me, these souls are the return of the glory and the love of creation and redemption. I've read this past times today, and as I read it again, like so many ideas come to my head, but I'll just try to narrow down a couple of points. It reminded me of the Eucharist. We have one Jesus, but he multiplies himself for as many hosts, for as many souls as he wants to receive him. And the same with his divine life. We each have a Jesus at our disposal. People ask us all the time, not all the time, but often, aren't you guys jealous? You all have the same husband? Yes, we have the same husband, but it doesn't feel that way because the truth is we all have a Jesus to ourselves because we're all his chosen one. We're all his precious one. And not just us sisters, but everyone. You know, God wants to marry everyone. We're all his special creation. And just kind of getting back to what I was saying before, you know, creation is another example. How diverse is creation? Like how beautiful does each act of creation reveal it? Such a beautiful way it reveals God's love and glory. And man is the crown of his creation. So each soul, each person that he created, every soul, even ones that you're like, oh, I don't know if I can see God in that soul. Yes, God's beam of glory is in all of us. And we each reflect a different aspect of God's love and beauty. Sorry, my Skype went off.
No, that's okay. Well, why you get okay? Do you have to cue something else up, sister?
Do I have to? No, I. You know what? I forgot to turn my internet off on my phone because I'm reading from my Kindle. So my
that's okay. No, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Good. And just the last quick point that was the first thing that actually stuck out in my head when I read this passage is. You know, Jesus is pain when we don't recognize him, when we ignore him, when we forget that life's at our disposal. And when we read passages like that, we can't think about of all those other people, you know, quote unquote, other people who don't follow the Lord, who don't live a life of faith, who don't embrace the divine will. That's all of us, you know, even, you know, I've been reading the Divine Will 13 years and there's still so much of the journey that I have to travel. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, how often do you still rely on yourself, your self-sufficiency? You forget that my pains are at your disposal. My words are at your disposal. You know, my forgiveness, my love, everything is at your disposal. You don't have to do it yourself. So those are the three things that popped in my head, but especially just that last seed of self-sufficiency. You know, we fall into discouragement because we try to do things ourselves. God is there. We have a Jesus at our disposal, ready to make up for our weaknesses, ready to glorify the Father in a way that we never could. We can't do it ourselves. That's why Jesus has to do it for us. So whenever you fall into discouragement, remember you have Jesus. He's there doing it with you and for you.
Amen. You mentioned in that about the incarnation. That's so interesting because I do remember a past. I don't remember much, but I do remember this. And again, these are words never before spoken. Jesus tells us very, 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 very frank from the heart in volume 26, May 28th, 1929. And he throws this out as a statement, sort of a question, answer. It's all for our edification. He knows exactly what he's doing and knows how to break through our defenses. He says this, quote, "The love and the desire I feel to make it known, this gift, is so great that if it were necessary, I would incarnate myself again in order to obtain that my will be known and that it reign upon earth. But this is not necessary, because having incarnated myself once, my incarnation is always an act and has the virtue of reproducing the same effects as if I were incarnating myself again." End quote. So I just love the way he presents it in a way we're going to listen. Again, we're fickle. We sometimes turn our ears off. And last but not least, before we go to break, I loved when in that quote was, "Each soul needed my death to find their life." Wow. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Actually surviving here.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. We've again mentioned it. We're going to mention it again. We are indeed so blessed. I want to open the second segment of this program with a small quote and then some small business to be attend to. This also from Volume 26, May 28, 1929. Quote, "Now, so I, Jesus, am within you, Louisa. I look at my sacrifices and yours. I look at the order I have kept, at the many lessons I have given you, enough to make my divine will known in order to form its kingdom. And if I do not stop speaking, it is because its story is eternal. And what is eternal has its eternal speaking that never ends. And the speaking about my fiat will be eternal in heaven. I look at those who surround you and who know what regards my will without true interest in making known a good so great," end quote. So he's expecting us to share our elation, our joy, our happiness. And he also tells us he's spying on us. And that's a good thing. You know, to watch us is a good thing. He'll keep us in order. And that brings me to the point of, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in our home. Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. And, we can give in two ways. We can give financially, we can give spiritually, we can give both. God has given us an opportunity to do one, at least one of those two scenarios. So if you would, please go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us or 888-408-0201. Again, God's spying us. He knows what we can do. No pressure, but he knows what we can do financially or spiritually. We can absolutely do one. Many of us can do two. So please be generous if you can. We'll be as generous as we can. We'll offer a Louisa Picadetta relic card for anyone making a donation, hopefully on a monthly, reoccurring monthly, which is the greatest because that Radio Maria knows what's coming in when. I mean, think about it. If you didn't know how much you have tomorrow, how can you pay your bill 2 days from now? I mean, you can't. It just makes it a lot easier. But if you can make a one-time payment, that's great too. We'll give you as a gift, a relic card of Louisa Picadetta, which is a prayer card, but it also includes a piece of Louisa's clothing. And most importantly, the contact information on the back of the card, who to call, whom to call when you experience your miracle, not if, but when. So again, please give generously 888-408-0201 or radiomaria.us. Sisters, he's spying on us. No pressure. Hi, Sister Gemma. Oh, wait, I think you're muted. Sorry about that. My fault.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly, sister. Hello.
Okay, hello. I want to continue what's Sister Francesca was talking about, the love of God, the love of Jesus that he has for all of us. And I read a piece of on the volume 31 that it say, my dearest daughter, you must know that what I want and interest me the most is that I want to make known that I love the creature. I want to say to the ear of every heart, child, I love you, and I would be content if I heard myself responded to with my same little refrain, Jesus, I love you. Here is why I love you so much. As you say it, it takes the form of a refreshing little flame that coming into my great fire of love brings me refreshment. And when I was reading this passage, I was thinking it's so interesting to know that the big interest of Jesus is for us to know that he loves us. And this is what a father wants from all of us to know. Like an earthly father, we want to be loved, and he wants to know that we are loved from our
earthly father, and thus is the same Jesus. And another things that caught my attention is the word child. When he say child, I love you, he doesn't call us, just didn't say I love you or use other words, but he used the word child just to emphasize more the fact that we are his children, and we should remember that we are his children and he loves us so much, and we should realize, and I was thinking, how can I know, like, where are the things? I was thinking of the things that he shows me every day that he loves me, and there are many, many, many. And maybe perhaps it's a good exercise that everyone at the end of the day, we can do this little exercise and think, so where I received the love of God today, at least name few, even though it's all day. That it's a sign of love from Jesus to us, that thinking of that, and also thanking God for that I love you that he told us. And maybe if we can, we can also say I love you, because Jesus, as he says here, he loves when he hears from his children say I love you too. And also he was saying that every time we say I love you, it's a refreshment that he receives. And and I was thinking too, how many times I refresh Jesus with my I love you during the day. I'm sure the Virgin Mary refreshed him with her I love you all the time. And that probably was the most loved one from Jesus, when her mother was saying I love you. So that's the things that we can do every day to refresh Jesus from all the pains and that he receives from all souls, the I love you that we can give to Jesus.
And sister, you know, while refreshing Jesus also, you know, we have to keep in mind what Jesus says. He says that the grace and the gifts, more importantly, he used the word gifts, the gifts that are constantly being showered to us, they're not completed. They're not perfected. They're not consummated until he receives a response from us. And the response can be something very simple, like I love you, which is complicated, but rather simple to say, or thank you. Because remember, ingratitude was one of his greatest pains in his humanity. So we have to respond to the gift. And then the gift is consummated, it's completed. And we can then eat the fruits of that tree. Otherwise, they remain on the branch. And branch is something that's very important to a tree and to the life of the tree. Wouldn't you agree, Sister Elizabeth?
Yes, I agree. No, I'm just, I'm just laughing because we always have this, do you agree? And I agree.
but one day I'm going to have something that you should not agree to, just to test if you're listening.
I will find it.
I know you will. You're sharp.
That would be interesting. Yeah. So as you were saying, and Sister Gemma, like to refresh Jesus with our little I love you, and what he loves the most is really when we really renounce our own will, like completely, and enter into his. Because he puts so many opportunities in our everyday life. We may think, okay, God, I really, for example, I really want to go to the mission in some third world country and give my whole life for you and do a big sacrifice, and which is all really, you know, good and great. But maybe Jesus really has a design for us to do this little sacrifice, to renounce our own will by, you know, accepting humiliation or accepting everything that the life brings us without lamenting. That's really important. No lamenting, being grateful, praise and thank him for every and each little thing that he's bringing to us. Like, maybe how Jesus wants us to fuse ourselves with his will is, you know, when, for example, we're like, let's say, judging someone that is really objectively leading a life in a wrong path, but to put aside those judgments and just pray for that person, offer the divine version of its lives. And many times we're like, we're creatures of habit, and we really don't realize what is happening in the interior. And that's where the attentiveness comes in. So I have here the passage from volume 36, May 19, 1938. So it is about how the divine will is the paralysis of all the evils, while the human will paralyzes good. Okay, and so Jesus telling to us through Luisa, my blessed daughter, courage, don't be afraid. The virtue, the power of my will is such that upon entering into it, all the evils, passions, missteps, and works remain paralyzed. The human will is defeated to the point of dying without really dying. However, it understands with great joy that while the evils are paralyzed, it feels the life of goodness rising again. A light that never dies, a never-ending strength, eternal love, heroic sacrifice, and invincible patience. I can say that my will puts an end to the evils of the creature, since it is the principle and life of every good. Now, as my fiat has the power to paralyze evils, the human will paralyzes every good when it reigns in the creature. Poor good, trapped under the paralysis of the human will. It wants to walk, but can barely drag itself. It wants to work, but it feels its arm sagging. It wants to think good thoughts, but it feels stunned and stupid. The human will, without my will, is the source of all evils and the total ruin of the poor creature. And then he adds again, my daughter, the one who wants to possess me must love me. Loving and possessing are the same thing. As you love me, so I remain formed in your soul, and as you love me more, I grow. Only love makes me grow, and through more love, I reveal myself so as to be loved even more. So to the degree that you love me, I let you feel how much I love you. As soon as you love me, I love and possess you, and as we mutually love each other, I form you and grow you within me. And I was reminded here of Saint Elizabeth of the Holy Trinity, that she said she would just needed a brief time like to recollect herself, and she would feel the life of the Holy Trinity within herself, which is so amazing. And also another thing in the revelations of Saint Gertrude, she was saying that how God by his sheer goodness and by the desire of prophet Daniel, when the Hebrews were exiled by the king Nabuchodonosor, and they weren't offering sacrifice, neither do they have priesthood and all, but God granted this desire of Daniel, to still offer sacrifice by his mere desire and sheer goodness of God, as if the priesthood were still in Jerusalem.
Beautiful. Hello, Sister Benedicta.
Hello. So I was listening to all of you, and I was thinking, well, how would it would be nice to read how Luisa would do a round, how she would pray and in the divine will. And so I got this from October 15th, 1926. So she was doing her rounds in the divine will, and she says, my Jesus, your will embraces and encloses everything. And I, in the name of the first person who came out of your creative hands, up to the last one who will be created, intend to repair for all the oppositions of human wills made against yours, and to take within me all the acts of your adorable will which creatures have rejected, in order to requite them all in love and adoration, in such a way that there may be no act of yours without the correspondence of one act of mine, so that in finding my little act, as though bilocated in each one of your acts, you may be satisfied and may come to reign triumphantly upon earth. Is it perhaps not upon the human acts that the eternal fiat wants to find the support on which to dominate? Therefore, in each one of your acts, I offer you mine as the field on which you can lay your kingdom. And, I was meditating on this and I just thought, wow, how simple is that? This just came from her heart. It was just love. Like, I want to repair for, you know, everyone who doesn't love you, for all the human wills, you know, whoever doesn't do your will. And, you know, you can think like sometimes, you know, we have these thoughts, these inspirations, and the Lord takes it. He takes it and makes it a reality. You just desire to be in his will and he'll do it. And then he comes and he tells her, he said, you know what it means to follow, to be a newborn and the daughter of my will? He says, what it takes is to follow all of its acts as its faithful daughter. In fact, you must know that in creation, my will entered the field of action in the human acts of the creature. But in order to act, it wants the act of the creature within its own, so as to carry out its operating and be able to say, my kingdom is in the midst of my children and right within their inmost acts. In fact, as much as a creature takes of my will, so much do I extend my kingdom in her, and she extends her kingdom in my will, but according to how much she lets me dominate in her acts. So does she, according to how much she lets me dominate in her acts, so does she expand her boundaries of my kingdom, and I give, and she takes more joy, more happiness, more goods, and more glory. And he goes on and tell her that as many acts that you do, as much as these inspirations that you continue to do, they extend the kingdom within you, and you will receive, once you're in heaven, of course, the glory and the beatitude, happiness. But it's in with your soul, but you can't feel it until you're in eternity. And then Luisa was contemplating the Our Father. And she said, because she was thinking, well, she said, well, didn't you just say, you know, that, you know, in the Our Father, you were teaching us your will be done. So just, you know, to do your will. And he was explaining to her, he said, my daughter, your will be done, which I taught in the Our Father, meant that all were to pray that they might at least do the will of God. And this is for the Christians and for all times. Nor can anyone call himself a Christian if he does not dispose himself to do the will of his celestial Father. But you have not thought of the other addition, which comes immediately after, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven means to live in the divine will. It means to pray that the kingdom of my will may come on earth in order to live in it. In heaven, they not only do my will, but they live in it. They possess it as their own thing and as their own kingdom. And if they did it, but did not possess it, their happiness would not be full, because true happiness begins in the depth of the soul. To do the will of God does not mean to possess it, but to submit oneself to its commands, while to live in it is possessing. Therefore, in the Our Father, in the words, your will be done, is a prayer that all may do the supreme will, and in on earth as it is in heaven, that man may return into that will from which he came in order to reacquire his happiness, the lost goods, and the possession of his divine kingdom.
Amen. Maybe that's a topic for a program upcoming. Maybe doing the will of God versus living in the divine will. You know, Jesus says it sounds similar, but there could be a greater difference. He says the difference is between night and day, heaven and earth. So that's really important. No, that was a great sharing. Thank you so much. Any closing thoughts? Besides adios.
Oh, sorry. I just want to say a big amen to something that Sister Benedicta said in the beginning of her reflection, where she said, you know, sometimes we have this inspiration and then the Lord takes it and makes it a reality. I know I struggle with that sometimes, feeling like I have to put things into pretty words or certain formulas, but it's that movement of our heart. It's that inspiration that the Lord puts there. We just have to lift it up to him and it makes it a reality. It's just so easy.
Amen. Well, thank you, Sister. Appreciate everything. Bye-bye. Sisters have to leave a little early today to attend Mass. They've got a great reason for leaving. want to talk about something really interesting. You know, this is a passage that really struck my attention. And, you know, we can consider ourselves divine will sponges. I mean, everyone that's been born has been born to possess the divine will. Again, Adam and Eve were in the divine will. That was our purpose of creation. And then, of course, when Adam was disobedient, we lost that opportunity. But now we're graveling back through the help of our blessed Lord, who says now is the time to go back. So in this passage, volume 26, July 14th, 1929, I think really spells a lot about Jesus switching gears on us. And he did with Louisa, he's doing with us also in a slightly different way, although the same. This is what Jesus says, quote, "Now, after I became sure about you, Louisa, and I secured my work, my acting changed. I made you break the silence, and the ardor of my instructions and of my speaking was such and so great that I, Jesus, can call you, Louisa, the cathedra of my divine will, the secretary of its most intimate secrets, such that as you were unable to contain them all within yourself, I commanded you to manifest them to my minister." That was Saint Hannibal de Francia. "And this acting of mine was necessary. Otherwise, how would my divine will have become known?" And end quote. So it's really interesting. So we're all, in essence, we can consider ourselves divine will sponges, and we're here to absorb all the divine will until we're full, and then when we cannot receive any more, to wring ourselves out and water those other seeds, our other brothers and sisters, with the knowledges that have been conveyed to us, and then go back in and absorb more. And this is going to be our job. This is the job for the rest of our remaining days on earth. This is our job, as Jesus explains to us, in heaven. This kindergarten of the divine will is never going to end. Sorry, we're never graduating, and that's really a good thing to know about. Last thing I'd like to end with is we talked about the connection, and why is our existence on earth so important? Jesus explains that the body with the soul, and here's how he crosses this delineation. It's volume 36, May 17th, 1938. Quote, "Now an organ without a player is like a dead body. It's not fun. Neither does it attract anyone. On the other hand, one who is good at music cannot exercise his art as a musician if he doesn't have an instrument to play. Therefore, a living someone who speaks and moves is needed to create beautiful music. But the instrument is necessary too, with its keys, notes, and so on. Both of them are necessary. Such are the soul and the body. There's such harmony, such order, and such union that one cannot do without the other. So, be attentive. I watch your steps. I watch your words, the movements of your pupils, your tiniest acts, in order for my will to have its life, its place." End quote. It's all here. God has brought us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God. The prelapsarian era of Adam. There's nothing greater. Those are not my words. Those are not the sister's words. Those are not mother's words. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are the words of our blessed mother. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. God willing, we'll see everyone next week. Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.